Lizard.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Reset with your host, Radio Mike. Senhoras e senhores, bem-vindo ao Reset com o nosso Radio Mike.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Reset. This is your host, Radio Mike, and I'm here with Companion Cube, Lawrence.
Yeah.
So we're here, sitting here, in the dark, alone in the dark. Yeah, we're really not alone, but we are getting ready to give you guys a really awesome preview of 50 Cent Blood on the Sand. And yeah, that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's really not. And Prince of Persia for the Xbox 360 and PS3 consoles. Reason being is they have some new DLC coming out next week. Very compelling, and we want to talk to you about that. And also, we're going to give you guys some news from the industry, from Capcom and Sony. So sit back and relax. We're getting ready for this new episode. This is Reset. So first off, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, released by, what was it?
THQ.
THQ and the developer Swordfish, known for Rugby International 2005 and some other games, really not known for. So this is pretty much their premier title that they're putting out there.
comes out for
regular people on the 24th, and it comes out on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 consoles. All right, and this is 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, like
second game
in the 50 Cent franchise. It pretty much is a franchise, and this establishes it as such, because that first game just, what was that called, Bulletproof?
Yeah, Bulletproof.
And that horrible. I mean, if you use that as proof of concept,
experimental,
then that's that like, you're gonna come into this game thinking that this is Bulletproof and
you
Bullet
should, because that's set you up for like.
I guess maybe if you go in with very low expectations, then this game pretty much knocks your block off. And you're sitting back in your chair and you're like, this is not a 50 Cent game. This is Gears of War with a 50 Cent mod on it. And you're playing with characters such as DJ Wu Kid and other people from G Unit. I don't know their names. But, well, are those the only members of G Unit, or are there other G Unit members? G members.
G member go.
They're
the only ones in the game, so they're the only ones of any relevance to me.
Okay, I don't know anyone else in G Unit, so I mean it really doesn't matter to me either way.
The album I listen to is Get Rich or Die Trying.
I don't even know what that is. So Mace is a part of G Unit? I thought Mace was just retarded.
Mace ain't in the game.
Oh yeah, Mace isn't a playable character. So
thank God,
because he'd just be there. He'd have actual gangster time. Just. Oh, yeah, because that game's going to be, you know, covered with DLC. Because it's like, the only thing I'm hoping they add is Eminem. They need to add Eminem.
Yeah, you can put Eminem in that game. Em and Dre need to be in that game.
It's like Dr. Dre, because he has a PhD. Doesn't need to be in that game. But Eminem is a requirement for me to go through that game again. Because the game actually has a single player and a co-op mode. Co-op is live only.
Yeah.
So those looking for, like, a LAN experience or, like, co-op off the same TV, not going to happen. But, you know, most people at this point have Xbox Live. They have gold accounts. And, I mean, if you have Xbox Live, you have, because you have a gold account, and you're going to be playing this over live. But the single-player campaign takes place after 50 Cent decides he's going to start touring in the Middle East. Now, mind you, this isn't the real Middle East, because there's no actual country named. This is just fictional Middle East that's made up for 50 Cent, because 50 Cent made his own Middle East so that he could go there and he could tour. He gets off his tour, he ends his tour, he drops his mic, and he goes to the producer, and he says, guess what, I'm gonna need my money. And the guy says, in, you know, a very 7-Eleven voice, I can't give you my money, because it's not your money, and I don't know who you are, no, forget you, sir, no, sir, thank you, sir, no, sir, I cannot give you that, sir, thank you for calling Dell. And after he goes through all the, you know, thank you for calling tech support at Dell, he pretty much says he doesn't have the money, at which point 50 Cent and the members of G proceed to pull out weapons from thin air. Now, mind you, like, this cutscene is just flabbergasting, because this cutscene looks ridiculous. The game is rendered in Unreal Engine 3, so for all those people who said they can't make games with Unreal tech and need help, like Gears of War, Gears of War 2, like Unreal Tournament 3, and 50 Cent.
I think Stranglehold was made with Unreal 3, too.
Yeah, with, like, the watermelons were made with Unreal tech. Like, that game was rough. That game was very rough. It's like, John, yo, you know they're coming out with a box set for all that Stranglehold stuff? It's like Stranglehold, there's another movie on there and another movie, and if you get the special edition for Blu-ray, it comes with a slipcover for when you buy Dynasty Warriors 7 and downloadable content for the PS3. Like, on the Blu-ray. For Dynasty Warriors 7? Yeah. I don't know. All I know is it comes with DLC, like a DLC ticket, and a slipcover for Dynasty Warriors 7. So, anyway, regardless, 50 Cent decides that he needs to extract his money out of this dude, you know, rear end. And the guy goes, no, wait, 50, I have something for you. And he goes into this long-winded explanation about the fact that he has a skull covered in jewels from the dead wife of this prince from some Middle Eastern country. And he says, I'll give you the crystal skull.
It's like unnamed prince, unnamed wife.
Unnamed wife. And he gives the skull to 50. 50's like, all right, Anwar, because the man's name is Anwar.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, and Anwar, or something. It's a name tag, and it says 7-Eleven above it. And he decides that he's going to get out, and he says, do you have transportation? Transportation for 50 Cent is a, you know, bulletproof Hummer.
Yeah, like standard issue.
Standard, like military-grade Hummer. And they're driving the Hummer, and they're going down the street, and it's like, wow, this game is pretty, you know, how do you say, what is it? Yeah, this is very low-key for a game that's supposed to be about action. I'm like, yeah. At what point are they going to steal his boot? And it happens. Man in the front seat gets shot in the head. Dude in the passenger side falls down. 50 Cent pushes the guy out of the car.
Right, yeah,
RPGs
yeah,
show up. This is the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, but still, like, that's what makes it exciting. Happen.
Now you know knows at the battle, G.I. Joe.
Whatever.
Anyway, so 50 Cent is taken out of the element. He's taken aback. His skull gets stolen. And the brunt of this game, in fact, like the next 3 to 4 hours you're going to be playing this game, is spent killing people to get your crystal skull back. Want to jump into gameplay elements?
Well, as far as the gameplay is concerned, the game is more of an arcade shooter than a lot of, like, games built around that mechanic as far as third-person shooters go. Like, unlike Gears of War, it's less of a survival game and more of, there's a guy in front of me, I shoot that guy, and I gotta shoot this next guy before my multiplier goes down. In fact, like, the score is a key mechanic of the gameplay and involves you unlocking a lot of the extras that you get.
What do you mean score? Like, there's a scoring mechanic in the game?
Yeah, like, you shoot a guy, you get points. And depending on how you kill him or what you kill him with, you get more points.
Okay, so, like, I kill one guy, I kill a second guy, it'll say times two.
Yeah.
Kill a third guy, times three, times four, times five, massacre.
Exactly.
And then it's like, as I go through that, I build my score, and that's how, because end of each level, they rank you based on your score. And based on every score, you'll get either a bronze, silver, or gold badge.
Yeah.
And it'll unlock stuff in the game. Like, if you're really a 50 Cent fan, it'll unlock videos.
Extra music to use extra on the playlist music in the game. Because you can just, because it's like his entire discography, as far as the music is concerned, is on the game.
Uh-huh.
You can just go in there and, like, pick and choose which tracks you want. Or if you're on a 360 only, you can, like, load custom soundtracks and play them over the game regardless. So if you're playing 50 Cent and you don't like his music, then I have to ask you why.
Put 30 cents of Mars. Or 30 seconds to Mars.
30 cents of Mars.
Yeah, that's a new, like, you know how Linkin Park and what's his face? You know, the other rapper with big lips. Big lips. Yes, that's with Beyonce.
Yeah, Jay-Z. I couldn't remember his name, but I know.
I was like, how far is this going to have to go?
He does it to Beyonce. And Jay-Z, you know, they did that album. But it wasn't really like a compilation.
It was like you took some of my songs, and then I take some of my songs, and we just collision cut course. And paste half of
but them. But I'm saying like 30 Cent to Mars is going to be like 30 Seconds from Mars, 50 Cent exclusive coming out as DLC. And then, no, it's not. But you would love it, though, if it came out, though, because that'd be awesome.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah, it would. And I would not.
You'd buy it, though.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd at least...
I'd download it.
No, we don't... What? Can't download nothing.
Download music. Everyone downloads music.
No one downloads music. Now we're playing Pictionary. But, no, seriously, though. So we play the game, and you're going through as 50 Cent and one extra member of G-Unit.
Yeah, one of four.
One of three.
There are three?
Yeah.
I thought there were four.
Tony Yayo, Lloyd Banks, and DJ WooKid.
I thought there was a fourth one.
Who?
I don't know.
There is
no I just saw it. I swore up and down there were four choices.
No, there are three choices. Those are the only dudes we can be. And you pick one of them, and you go through the game with your partner, and there are some places where you need to get, and you need to use your partner to, like, kind of boost you up.
Yeah, like context-sensitive action.
Yeah, and it'll boost you up.
Open like random shutters here and there. There are lots of metal shutters.
Yeah,
in the Middle East, apparently.
Yeah, like there's lots of metal shutters, and there are lots of spots for you to jump up with a friend who's really strong.
There are also lots of random targets hanging around for you to shoot for extra points, and there are also and like, posters. So many posters of G Unit.
Posters of people. Posters of pictures who are people and not in G Unit.
Yeah,
like there's a poster of Old Dirty Bastard. In that game.
Not even. No, there's
not. Yeah, there is. In that one level if that's not Old Dirty Bastard, who the heck is that?
Oh, those like Saddam Hussein after capture?
No, that was old ODB. That was Young Baby Jesus, or whatever they call him. He had so many names and personas.
No, he only had like the one and then the abbreviation for the
Yeah. One. But you go through the game and the scoring mechanics there. So if you've ever played like a game like The Club.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's damn near like The Club verbatim with like a 50 Cent skin on it.
Yeah, pretty much. And the polish is there. Like Unreal Tech really makes this game show its own behind. Like I don't know what else I could say about it graphically other than it really compares to Gears of War as far as looks are concerned.
I don't know about comparing to Gears of War because it has a lot of little technical issues that hold it back from being that awesome. Mm-hmm. I will say it does look surprisingly good. Considering it's a licensed title and considering it's developed by a studio I've never heard of.
Like I said, they've done two games and I've never heard or played either of them. So kudos for this small little team coming out and making pretty much a AAA title.
It's like
that's good for them.
Not to cut you off, but I will say as far as like some of the negatives are concerned, because the game plays well, the game looks good, and for the most part, it sounds well, too. Explosions come through clear. Voiceovers are cool. You get the occasional repeat voiceover.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
You're in the Middle East, you're going to get that.
Yeah, and it's like some of the sounds, like, very rarely clip out when you're playing online. But, like, as far as, like, major cons are concerned, some collision detection issues as far as, like, interacting with your partner is concerned and interacting with certain objects in the background and the environment. Like, A is, like, your do-all button, which is, like, snap to wall, duck behind this. Roll. Sometimes you want to roll and you're snapped to a wall.
Yeah.
But that's a Gears of War problem, too. So that doesn't really, like, it's not a major issue, but there will be times when you go to do something and you're expecting something to happen and it doesn't happen that way and you die because of it. Especially on the higher difficulties.
X is your take weapon, grab weapon, see something on the ground, I need this,
yeah,
take
basically.
It. Any of the posters that you're going to see in the game, which you need to collect. There are five posters in each level, five targets. Good luck finding them, because I have a hard time finding any more than four in any given level, at least for targets, and those help your score drastically.
Yeah, very much.
They're very nice score multipliers for finding one through five, and then one through five on the posters. There are also little things that are called scenarios in the game. Each little scenario comes up, and you're given a time period with which to do it. So say, for instance, you have to kill, you know, five heavy armed units that come through. So you have, let's say, like a minute to kill five heavy armed units. You kill those five heavy armed units and you get a bonus to your already going on score.
Yeah.
And then depending on how many of those you complete over the course of a level, you can get anywhere from your, you know, bronze to silver to gold badges. And once again, those help with your unlockables and your videos and your music.
Yeah, and plus it just keeps you focused on something to do. So it's not like, oh, there's just a dude coming out. I'll shoot him. There's another dude. I'll shoot him. There's another dude. I'll shoot him. It'll be like, oh, there's a bunch of dudes there already. But they'll be like, yo, kill three snipers. And the snipers are hidden in different corners
exactly.
around like the combat environment. And not only do you have to contend with the guys who are already shooting at you, but you have to pick off these other guys so you can get this score bonus. So it keeps you on your toes and it keeps you excited.
Exactly. And like as far as replayability goes, that's pretty much a key factor that most games have a really hard time getting through. Is why do I want to play this game again? Like, yeah. When I go to put a game in my Xbox, what makes me put this game in a second, a third, even a fourth time? And if it doesn't have some really high-level online functionality, thank you, it has to have something in-game that makes me keep coming back. And right now, the 50 Cent with the score multipliers and the like, little, I guess you could call them mini-achievements in the game itself, it's like, oh, I killed these dudes. I did this. And you can tell the people who weren't able to do it because you can see their scores. All this gets uploaded on the Xbox Live, and there are leaderboards. So you can't just say, well, I'm really good. I did this. It's like, okay, really? Click, 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 click. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Where's your achievement for doing such? So I guess what else was there to talk about the game? It's like covered gameplay, covered graphics. It's like you want to talk a little bit about the online functionality?
It's like, I mean, well, the online functionality is just like all online components, it's subjective. Like, if you're going to play with a random person, be prepared to be set up with either an idiot who doesn't know how to use the English language properly and is prone to cursing at the slightest provocation to do something correctly,
mm-hmm.
or find a friend and just, whatever, go through the game with them.
Yeah, have fun doing it, because that's pretty much all this is a fun experience.
Yeah, it's like, there is no competitive online component where you get online and shoot at other player-controlled characters, and there shouldn't be, because that would just be something that felt like it was tacked on, more than likely, and it probably wouldn't function correctly with the graphics engine running the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you get upset because a game goes out of its way to just tack on functionality.
Yeah.
And you know it was just thrown in at the last minute, and it's like, oh, wow, this is not as good as the regular game. and they didn't know how to make the game more robust, so they just threw in an online component. And only thing I have to say from this game that I really wish I would have gotten was an experience that would have allowed me to play the game with friends in LAN. Which is a really big thing for games like this. You're going to play, you know, co-op. I need to be able to do that experience with my friends. And you know, this is just one thing that I haven't seen any of the people from the Resident Evil team talk about yet, which is a little scary, that they won't talk about the fact their game plays online, but whether or not it does it only, you know, ad hoc or LAN.
It's like, well, I would have preferred split screen more so over LAN, and the lack of both is
repulsive.
Ridiculous.
At this point, games should not be doing that. Like, you're offering
Gears of War,
online.
Gears of War 2, Halo 3, Call of Duty 4, like, all of these things, throw that in as an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't just squeeze it onto the disc somehow. But I guess the game has enough content for 50 Cent fans and for shooter fans in general to justify the lack of that. I mean, like, if you got friends and they really want to play the game, you'll find a way to play the game. It's like, simple as that.
It's like, yo, really, if you're a fan of 50 Cent, if you're a fan of 50 Cent, great, get this game. Because guess what? This is going to be leaps and bounds better than what you played in Bulletproof.
So much.
If you're not a fan of 50 Cent and you're reluctant to go into this title and you have the money to go get this,
At least borrow it off of someone.
Get it from your Gamefly account. Like, at this point, people have Gamefly. People have, you know, Blockbuster accounts. Tell your parents you want to get this game for the weekend. Get it, or
parents.
Get this game and really enjoy yourself. Because this game is about indulgence, really. Like, indulging in the need to shoot Middle Eastern people without provocation to get something back that is so gaudy and ugly. But it doesn't matter. It's about what's yours and your ability to take it back. And your God-given right as an American. And this game exemplifies that in so many ways that I haven't played a game ever like this, because I've never played a 50 Cent game other than Bulletproof and this. And this just goes to prove that licensed games don't have to be bad.
They don't have to be.
This goes out to Transformers. Sucks. This goes out to anything licensed, really, that just sucks. That's really bad. I can't wait to play Wanted That's going to be a barrel of laughs.
What is going to be balls? You know what's going to be surprisingly good, though?
What?
Like Dragon Ball Evolution.
You know what? And because
that game will actually be very fun.
Because we're going out of our way. We should be posting video of 50 Cent Blood on the Sand sometime soon. It's like we made up a little YouTube page at, you know, www.j1studios.com. We're going to throw up a link for that. And hopefully we'll throw up some gameplay video and footage of other games that we find incredibly exciting that, you know, are just little sleeper hits. And yeah, Dragon Ball Evolution should be, you know, like just a barrel of monkeys. It should be good. But we're going to jump off and we're going to take a really quick commercial break. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Prince of Persia for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
In an ancient land, before time or sundials, it was time for a hero. This fall, prepare to believe all over again once more. Again. Dragon. Prepare to believe.
It's a time before time.
Oh no! Here come the dragons!
We need a hero! For 2,000 generations, and a million orcs will storm these lands, and the CGI bill will be apocalyptic!
Dragon Brain, prepare to love.
I'm only a humble blacksmith with a California accent. How can I possibly rise up and conquer evil without a montage?
How indeed? Do you believe?
I believe in the miracle of merchandising. I'll need a furry talking to spew one-liners while I chop off heads.
Don't lose your head!
We shall spin gold out of this drill.
Prepare to sit through a four-hour journey.
I've got a quest. I must defeat evil and sell franchise rights to theme parks.
Oh, curse! The dragons, they're flying upside down!
No! The CG machine is broken again!
Dragon!
Yours, Dragon Brain, coming soon to a theater near you. Rated G for gibberish.
It's not even the fact that I don't care, it's the fact that you really need to actively make sandwiches for yourself, and you really need to try to feed yourself better. That's why you're always tired. And anyway, we're back with Reset. It's like Lawrence is hungry. I'm not hungry because I had a really good sandwich.
Do whatever.
It was so delicious.
I don't care.
Chef Alomar fed it to me.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah. If she did, this would be a totally different conversation. And I wouldn't have came to record the show. I wouldn't have recorded the show at all.
Joke's over.
Okay, anyway. Whatever. You're just mad because you're hungry. Anyway.
So you're mad because Chef Alomar don't exist.
She does, just not the way I want her to. Anyway. we're going to talk about Prince of Persia now.
Cool points minus 10.
Oh, man, whatever. Your cool points is minus 10. I don't care. Private action. I don't care about you anyway as a character.
I don't want nothing to do with you or your private action.
Oh, because we're witty and bitey, and we can just come up with stuff on the fly.
I can. Can you?
No. It's like, this is why we don't have a relationship anymore. There you go, done.
Oh my god.
I don't need any Barry Manilow. I actually have some Luther Vandross on my phone, though. Like young Luther. Like skinny Luther. Like,
yeah, because you know the difference.
See, I like Big Luther.
Yeah, but you like Big Luther, but you know what that has nothing to do with? Prince of Persia for the Xbox 360.
Or the PS3.
You can unlock a Luther skin.
unlock a Luther Vandross skin. Which is actually funny because you actually can unlock new content in Prince of Persia for the Xbox 360 because there is downloadable content coming on the way
next week.
For the game next week.
Yeah.
And it's going to add an additional dungeon and a time trial mode to the game, which is cool because it didn't need that. But it's coming. And that's great. But Prince of Persia, Xbox 360, was released or was it developed by Ubisoft Montreal.
Yes, French
same
studio.
That brought you... the Half-Life Orange Box on the PS3. And
not even brought it so much as, like,
ported it.
Took it and stretched it out and slapped it on a disc and then gave it to people.
And they made other games. I don't know what they're called.
Splinter Cell series.
They made
Prince
all
of
the
Persia
games. Splinter Cell games?
Yeah, I think Ubisoft Montreal is responsible for Prince of Persia. I mean, Prince of Persia. Splinter Cell 1, 3, and Double Agent.
Yo, they made Donald Duck going quackers. They get mad points for that. It's like, no, they made Donald Duck going quackers in all of the Splinter Cell games. Yeah, they made Splinter Cell. From 2000 on. And they've made nothing else. except for this Prince of Persia. Okay, so it's like they made Tonic Trouble on the N64. They made the Tom Clancy games. They made Batman Rise of the Senzu. Oh my god, I hated that game so much.
I hate that game too.
Oh my god, that game is so bad. They also made Myst 4, Tom Clancy Rainbow Six 3, Far Cry Instincts for the Xbox.
Oh, sorry.
They made TMNT.
That explains why everybody's playing.
And they also, oh, they also made Assassin's Creed. That sold well. Oh my god, they made Naruto Rise of a Ninja.
Yeah, they did.
All of it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yo, this is the same team that made Lost Via Domain.
Yeah.
Oh man, y'all. Yeah. Super hits in there.
Yeah.
And they also made Broken Bond, but that doesn't mean anything. They also made Far Cry 2. Wow.
Yeah.
Points. And Harvest, I did not know, they're making this Harvest Moon Online for the PC, PS3, and 360. I am so about Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon Online, that's going to be interesting.
That's going to be all, like, Xbox Live is going to be the truth with your farming.
That has little to nothing to do with swinging off of,
like, has nothing to do with the new stuff. Prince, who is, you know, voiced by the main character from Uncharted Drake's Fortune, Nathan Drake. And the game takes place in a separate timeline of the Prince of Persia series.
No, it's a completely new narrative. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do they always change the timeline every Prince of Persia game, or was there a couple ones that was like a direct sequels to each one?
Yeah, there were a couple on like the Xbox and the PS2 that were in sequence. But when they decided to do a next gen game,
they were like, "Yo, this is completely on its own."
Yeah, they just scrapped it and started with a new narrative.
All right, which I guess is kind of cool.
Yeah, because I got tired of that guy anyway. It's like, do that over.
Yeah, it's like he did the whole like I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy, I'm an emo guy. I have powers. I'm a king.
I listen to Motorhead.
Yeah, because everyone listens to Motorhead.
I listen to lots of Motorhead.
Yeah, so the game itself starts off, and, you know, just like any good, you know, action movie, starts with a woman. Woman doing something. Always messing up. And she's running from the police, or guards, which are, you know,
the police.
Sane police.
I was about to say something real incorrect. Go ahead.
Please leave that to yourself. Just call them sane police. And they guard the sand. And, you know, you end up finding out that she's trying to catch her father because they're going to a temple where they are the protectors of this city. And they're these people called the Aura. Am I pronouncing that right? The Aura?
I believe so. I stopped paying attention to the story a little ways in.
And she gets there, and her dad goes, like, you know, AWOL, and you have to fight him. And you fight the dad, and the dad does some stuff, and he propels you into the beginning. Because I don't want to give it away, but the dad propels you into the main events of the storyline, which is you as the prince traveling around with this girl and collecting light seeds.
It's like, I said, like, I stopped paying attention to the story, like, just a little jab. one of the things that the game actually does well is its story and its narrative, and a lot of it is told, like, interactive-wise through you and your companion, which happens to be this girl, Elika, who's also a key mechanic as far as your gameplay is concerned. So. A key mechanic of the game is just standing around and talking to her to gain insight into the story, if that's something you want, by hitting the triggers when you're standing next to her, just, like, idling on a platform.
Exactly, because you'll get the narrative anyway, but if you want to go that extra mile, and once again, for achievement hunters, talking to Elika gets you achievements, you know, getting to know Elika better, really knowing Elika, you know Elika a lot. and really, though, it'll give you cute little insights into the game, and it also gives you cute little bitey conversations between the two characters, and, you know, the prince, you know, the standard macho man, and trying to get ahead in life.
It's like, I am a rough guy. I do this to, you know, get by, whatever. I don't care what you think, etc.
Exactly. And the girl, you know, I'm a princess. I'm very sheltered. I've never, you know, seen the sky before.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what this looks like. Oh, man. Yo, you know, it's real funny, though. She don't wear no shoes.
No, she doesn't.
The whole game, she don't wear no shoes. I know her feet hurt.
Not even, because she teleports and stuff.
Yeah, but she still got calluses on her feet, though.
I'd imagine she does.
All that running and jumping. But we could jump in. We could start talking about gameplay. Like you were saying, one of the key gameplay mechanics is talking to Elika to gain more insight into the story.
It's like, not even just talking to her so much as just interacting with her as a whole. Like, if it wasn't for this character, this game would not play proper. Like, if you go, man, I wish the girl wasn't in it, you wouldn't be able to make half the jumps in the game. You wouldn't be able to climb half the walls in the game.
Exactly. It's like up to Elika because she has an ability from her people, the Aura, that allows her to tap into the powers of Ormazd, you know, these people made up.
God of Light or something. It's all made
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And Ormonde allows you to make these really awesome jumps to these plates that are in the game. Each one corresponds to this big plate that's on a map that corresponds to other powers that you have within the game. There are four main powers that you can unlock by collecting light seeds. Light seeds are these little seeds of light or balls of light that you'll get and you'll collect through going out the stages by, cleansing each of the levels. Like you'll pull it up, like you'll hit the back button, which is the opposite of the start button in the middle of the guide.
Or the select button on the PS3.
Or the select button, which you could say. And it'll bring up your map. And your map looks like the sphere grid from Final Fantasy X, for those who played it. And, no, really, but it corresponds to four major sections in the game that you can get to. Four parts that go right from the temple, which is like your hub for the game.
Yeah, more or less.
And you can travel to each of these sections. Now, a lot of these sections will be blocked off, because you need powers that aren't garnered in the game until you collect more light seeds.
Yeah.
You collect more light seeds by cleansing more areas.
Yeah, and
you cleanse more areas by getting more powers. It's you know, a really nice way to streamline the game, make it very quick to pick up, quick to grab, I should say.
Yeah.
And figuring out the key mechanic is going through the game, trying to get enough light seeds to get your next power to unlock more areas, to get to the final areas to fight each of the four individual bosses, and then finally fight the final boss at the end of the game.
It's like, the light seeds is a component I want to talk about in a few minutes, and not in as much of a positive light as Mike did.
No. Go ahead. Talk about the light seeds right now, because I myself, that adds to the game for me. It's like, hey, look, there are these light seeds, which, BTW, there are 1,001. You got to get them all. They're Pokemon. And you have to collect these light seeds to get the new powers. You don't need all 1,001. But once again, for your achievement hunters and your people with OCD, you got to get them.
It's like, I was going to tie that in with the exploration mechanics as well, because that's, like, if not a major component, then that's the game.
It's like that's the driving factor of the game anyway, which is to collect the light seeds to get enough power to get new powers.
It's like, this game isn't, like, we say you go and you cleanse an area that involves fighting the occasional monster or whatever, but it's not at all much of a combat experience. It's more you and the environment. That's you climbing up a wall, jumping off a wall to a pillar, climbing a pillar, running across the ceiling of a building, jumping to another wall, and then climbing up that wall to a platform before, again, running to another. Like the acrobatics in this game are a major focus, and the team went out of their way to animate everything and connect everything in a well enough way so that it's fun just watching it move.
Yeah, very, very much so. More it all so animates very well. And then the artistic direction that was taken with this game.
Yeah, it's like a cell shading type really nice storybook cross-hatching sort of thing that really plays well. And the frame rate holds everything up very nicely, which is something that a lot of games haven't been doing lately. And it's good to see a game actually hold its like systems together as you're
exactly
moving around.
And
doing
then
all
considering
stuff.
It's Ubisoft, and then considering it's Ubisoft Montreal, who had like they just have a bad track record for just throwing games and slapping them together. And I think my one love for this game is the fact that his interactions with Elika aren't just tied to when you hit the left trigger or that left bumper and you're talking to her.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, she goes to come off a wall and you're standing close to it, he'll catch her. If they're close, they'll interact, and he'll say, oh, I got you, or you okay? He'll help her up. He never clips through her.
Yeah, you don't just pass through other people.
He'll
like
run,
in
and you'll try.
Games.
You try this for 5 minutes. Try to run into her as hard as you
can.
And
she'll just step back.
And she'll dodge every time that you do it. And I think that's really amazing that they took the time to put that little element in there, because that, once again, keeps me focused on the fact that I'm playing a video game, and this is a fantasy, but she's still a person. I'm not just going to run through a person.
Yeah.
And say, I can't run through you.
It's like,
I hope you die. So Elika dodges, and, you know, they interact very well with each other and within their environments. And they keep the story paced in a way that makes you want to keep playing the game, I should say.
It's like, yeah, but on that note, again, back to the exploration and back to the light seeds.
Okay.
Because you go into the a corrupted area, because that's what they're called. It's called the corruption, this thing that's, like, poisoning the land that you have to get rid of. And your main enemy is one boss in the level, and that's you. And it pretty much direct beelines you to the boss, so it's just point A, point B, you kill the boss. But then you have this moment where it's like, oh, the world's changed, it's different, everything's all bright, pretty, plants growing everywhere.
Yeah.
But there are these little balls of light in these ridiculously obscure places. And it's like, you either like the idea of chasing all these things down, because you can't just get one as like, oh, the occasional one counts for 3 or 4 or 5. It's like, no, they
all count of them
for
are
one. And they're in the weirdest spots. Like one, for instance, will have you like jumping, you jump, you hit Y to or triangle to trigger Elika so she can throw you further. You hit the wall, climb up the wall, hit the platform, run up the side up some vines, turn around, back jump onto a pillar, climb to the top of that pillar, hit another button to run across the ceiling. There's a ring, hit another button to swing off that ring, keep running, jump to another pillar, jump off that pillar, hit a wall, and jump off this wall to grab one that's just kind of dangling just outside of
your
reach.
But you're saying that, like, it's not intuitive with which to do that.
No, the controls are great, and the controls are awesome. It's just
whether or not you really want to get all the light seeds. Remember, you only have to get 6, 12, 18, 240 light seeds to beat the game.
It's like, and you can pick up a lot of them just by running around.
Yeah, like, you'll just be running. It's like, light seed, light seed, light seed, light seed. There are some that are out of the way, and yes.
A lot of them, actually, that are very much out of the way.
But, you know, that comes with the territory with these types of games. And once again, it's a way to elongate the game, you know, artificially. And, you know, that could be seen as a negative. Some people are into that. Some people really don't have a lot to do. It's like, I didn't reactivate my WoW account yet, so I like getting the light seeds. So that doesn't hurt me a whole lot.
Now, it's like, I was cool with it too
until you had to do it again.
Yeah, I had to get, like, again. After I got 60 and I went to get, like, you know, start on my 70s, and it's like, no, because some of those areas, the way they're laid out, well, involves more than two or three jumps to get to the next area.
At least
area.
It tells you when you're getting the light seeds how many you have left in each area. It's not like, oh, look, I don't know how many I have left in any area. You could highlight any of those areas on the map, and it'll say, like, 27 out of 35, yeah, or 30 out of 30, and you're happy knowing that. I mean, it's there.
It's like another area I want to talk about while we're talking about steady areas, okay, is the fact that, like, this game does not, you know, play along the lines of, like, oh, I died, I'm dead. It's like, no, you die, your girl has to come, and, like, you miss a jump, you fall, she pulls you to another platform. Like, an enemy goes for a killing blow, she pulls you out of the way, kicks the enemy away, battle restarts. It's like, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, you don't continue, you don't technically die, although there is sort of a penalty for that. It's like, if you go to get stabbed, and, like, the enemy's almost dead, but you screw up towards the end, and they go to kill you, she kicks them back, the enemy regains their entire gauge. So that's, like, maybe between, like, 30 seconds and, like, 10 minutes worth of work you just undid.
Exactly. But that also comes with the territory of keeping you in the game and keeping you focused on playing the game.
It's like, yeah,
if every time you got hit and there was a life bar and you died, or every time you missed a jump, and there are plenty of times you missed jumps.
It's like, oh, I like that mechanic, but, like,
and you gotta go back to a loading screen.
I don't like that mechanic when I say jump on a wall, run, jump on another wall, run up the wall, jump to a ledge, turn, jump on the swingy thing, swing, jump on another swingy thing, swing, jump on another swingy thing, hit a pillar, and then go to jump, forget I have to press Y to get to that next pillar, and I fall, and I'm back at that first
platform.
She takes
you back all the way to the beginning. Okay. All right, that's understandable. We got a... Yeah, that's cool.
It's like, okay, As far as, like, the cons are concerned, that's about it for me that I can come up with. And there aren't very many. Like, those are mostly nitpicks, if anything. And
yeah,
as
really.
Far as the game, like, whether or not you should get it or not, if you don't already have it for some strange reason and you
it's
have
like
a PS3
you have a reason to get it now because there's the content coming. And, yeah. I mean, this will just give you another, you know, let's say 2 to 5 hours of gameplay anyway.
It's like, yeah, that's what they're saying.
Exactly. And then it's like, yo, there are costumes and whatnot that you could get for the game. And as you beat the game, you unlock costumes from older games. And there's a lot there for people who are looking for a little bit of everything from their action platformer nowadays.
Yeah, because that's all it really is like, it's mostly like an adventure platformer because the amount of fights you get in are just like, yeah. Although the combat is really well made, you don't get to use it often, which
exactly.
is kind of regrettable, but like, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because you're doing more exploration.
Exactly.
And if you come in expecting to explore,
then
not beating on stuff every 5 minutes will be cool with you.
Exactly. And it gives you just enough of a diverse portfolio within the game itself, so that you can continue playing it, and there's a little bit of something there for everyone who would want a game of that liking.
Exactly.
But that's really all we wanted to talk about with Prince of Persia. I keep wanting to say Prince of Persia something, because they all have, like, subtitles.
No, this
it's
one
just called
not.
Prince of, like, they did what Marvel did and just reset the counter back to 1.
Yeah, basically.
So this is just called Prince of Persia. It's X-Men 1. It's like, what happened? I thought they were all dead. No, they're all back to life. It didn't start over. But that's all we're going to talk about for Prince of Persia, and we'll be right back with gaming news. So in other news, we have, real quick, we're going to talk about very interesting video game news that happened this past week. On Tuesday, Microsoft had a really amazing video to show us, because I woke up and I told myself, you know what? I'm not going to go to Microsoft. I'm not going to hook my Xbox up to Xbox Live. I'm not going to hook it up to Xbox Live. Hook my Xbox up to Xbox Live. Went to go look at this video, and it was the producer for Resident Evil 5, and he's all cheesing because Asian people cheese all the time. And he was saying that he's in the production for a new video game, Capcom license, and I'm saying to myself, I'm like, oh my god, this is going to be it. It's gonna be it, and I'm like, I'm waiting for the inevitable, roar sound of a monster, and then the inevitable Monster Hunter 3 or Monster Hunter something, some subtitle on the Xbox 360.
Yeah,
at which point I would have had to call you, 7 o'clock in the morning, and like, where's Monster Hunter? Oh my god, I'm dying, and I'd lose my mind, and I'm crying, and I'm just in my pajamas, and I'm waiting at this point for Monster Hunter. But no, it's not Monster Hunter. It is Lost Planet 2.
Lost Planet Deuce.
Discuss.
The video was cool.
Video is really good.
The video was very
good. Four-player co-op.
Yeah, that is an interesting mechanic.
That's a very interesting mechanic for Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter.
Four-player co-op.
Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this seems like a really good test to see if Monster Hunter would work on the 360.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Think about that.
But I don't think they'd risk a high level IP and just throw that in there like that. Like, then again, Square Enix did the same thing with Final Fantasy XI leading.
Exactly.
Well.
So very much so. You have to think about what they would do to make that work. And it's like, think about this. Lost Planet, at least according to the Resident Evil 5 producer, is something that fans have been clamoring for so long that they had to do a sequel. So
yeah.
I figure if enough of us start crying for Monster Hunter,
yeah,
it'll happen. But the game is a prequel, because there's no way they can make a sequel to Lost Planet.
No, they did make a sequel.
Not a compelling.
It is a sequel. It's what? It focuses more on the entire conflict more so than just one.
Yeah,
dude
than just
and his
that
point
one skirmish and his abilities.
It takes place it takes place a couple decades after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So the planet, according to the Asian man who was speaking, has undergone some sort of climate change.
Yeah.
So there are jungles and
there are jungles in the game, and I guess this was a way to make the game much more diverse than the first one was, because Snowy Battlefield, the gray area to Snowy Battlefield, the gray area to inside a cocoon to area to snow. Really wasn't that awesome, but now we have jungles, very compelling, very good looking, very highly rendered jungles.
Yeah.
But it's once again, that's a target video. We'll see what happens when they start showing gameplay for that.
That looked real time to me.
Really? You think that's real time? I mean, from what? From the time they got off that boat?
All that was real time?
We'll see, because I'm pretty sure that that's going to be one of the highlights for the Microsoft keynote this year at E3.
They
want to pipe that real hard.
If they don't have something else, because
they have another secret project that I'm hoping isn't Alan Wake, because I'm tired of Alan Wake. I don't care.
I haven't even played it. Haven't seen anything moving for it.
I care about Alan Wake as much as I care about PlayStation Home now. So, and that's saying a lot, because I really cared about PlayStation Home. But other big news on the PSP front. What's coming to the PSP? I wish I had an effect.
Yeah.
Or something.
Some sort of musical number or something. No, but Rock Band.
Rock Band on the PSP, confirmed scoop.
Yeah.
Right here. You heard it here second, because we heard it from Kotaku. But really though, Harmonix has finally found a way to bring Amplitude to the PSP in the form of Rock Band, and we're gonna see how that works, because the game doesn't have online. But it does have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So they encourage local co-op?
Yeah, obviously local co-op. So it'll be me, you, another friend, and then I guess they're going to make some kind of mic attachment.
They don't need to. They sell first party.
Oh, they have those first party. Oh, the mics that they have
USB
for the Skype.
Mics, I think.
Yeah, the Skype mics.
Yeah.
Or I guess they would make one specifically for this game. Utilizes that USB port.
Yeah, perhaps.
And be a lot easier for you, because you could be on the bus with your three friends playing Rock Band in the back of the bus.
On your PSP.
On your PSP.
Oh my God.
That's going to be awesome. There it is. As far as other game news, that's about all we want to tell you guys that's important. We're going to have a really awesome show for you guys next week. Hopefully it'll be awesome.
Hopefully it'll be awesome.
I'm glad you guys keep listening, because this really makes me happy. to see so many people listening to this show. And I'd like to direct all of you to the J1 forums at www.j1studios.com. Make sure you get on the forum, like click the community tab, register on the forum, and just let us know your opinions. You know, let us know what you think about the show, anything that can be done to make the show better. And we will also, I would also like to let you guys know about a contest that's on J1 Studios right now for signing up for the forum. If you are a member of the forum, if you can, like, however many members you can get to sign up on the forum.
Like, yeah, that's you getting people and referring them to
now until March 23rd, you'll win a $50 gift card courtesy of J1 Studios to use in our store to buy all kinds of stuff, like shirts and mugs and bags and thongs.
And Angel Savior issue one.
Yeah, and Angel Savior issue one. And, you know, this is, and I mean, you really don't have to do anything except tell people to come to the forum and register. And all they have to do is to put your name on, there's a dedicated thread on the forum for the contest. All they have to do is type your name in, and we'll see them and their IP, and we'll be so happy. And hopefully you'll get on the forum, and you'll come to the reset boards and the other boards, but mostly the reset boards, and you're going to come, and you're going to come talk to us, and you're going to talk to us about the things that you want to see from the show going forward. And we're just going to keep pumping out these shows for you, because you're going to keep listening to them, hopefully, no matter what
better.
We do.
You better, because we'll come. We'll come, and we'll check.
We'll do the Jane Silent Bob all at your house.
We'll come in your house and check your browser history, and we'll look.
Yeah.
And it better have J1 Studios.
I mean, I don't care what other stuff you have in your browser history, but it needs to have J1 Studios on there, because we're really looking forward to bringing you more compelling content as we go ahead in the weeks. In fact, we just set up a YouTube page, and we're going to start posting up videos for, you know, games that we find interesting, and, you know, little videos for hints for people on the 360. And that's about it, right?
Yep, that about wraps it up.
That's it. Done. We're done.
Scoop.
It's over.
Confirmed.
It's over, man. It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man. All right, guys. Thank you for coming in and tuning in for another episode of Reset. We will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Scoop.